Morning.
Good morning, Alison Garner. Hello.
Mia Kilty Band. Band. Bandy.
No, not Bandy. Band. Yep.
Band. Today we're going to be talking about what we tolerate. And we were just talking about how you're like, I don't think I can tell any stories about what
and
you
I can't
tolerate.
tolerate talking about this.
So this has been a great
my
podcast.
Feeling.
Thanks
yeah.
for coming. Have a
yeah.
good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's start with what do we mean when we say what are we tolerating?
I can do that bit, and as
Let's
I feel I can't really speak on this topic because I'm censoring myself. Let me do that bit. Okay,
good.
so that what are we tolerating? For me, that means things I'm putting up with that I don't like.
Yeah.
Things I do not like that I put up with because lots of reasons.
So
You
let's
want
go
me to
into
tell
that.
you?
Yes, like what are, because we all do it. We can talk about stories next, but like there's a reason that we tolerate things from people. There's millions of them.
Yeah, my top reasons are that I don't want to hurt other people's feelings. And in fact, I had a dream last night, which I will not go into because I'm censoring myself around this subject. But if I were to share, and in the dream, I was upset that this isn't a dream, Alison. This isn't even real life. In a dream, I told somebody they were doing something I didn't like in this dream.
Yes.
And I was like, I was really cross about it. And let them know, you know, this is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah.
You cannot do this. In the dream, they had come in and changed all the kitchen cupboards. They'd taken the doors off. And don't laugh, it was traumatic. They'd taken all the kitchen doors off and put these other kitchen doors on, but they didn't really fit. And this person was saying to me, no, it's okay, because we'll kind of like, we'll patch up. And there were people everywhere, armies of people who weren't really trained to do the job they were doing. And I was really cross about it. And I was like, no, I didn't know about this. And this isn't okay. And I told them so. And then I saw them through the window on the phone trying to, I imagined, I have no idea what they were doing. They could have been ordering a pizza. But in my head, they were trying to undo what they had done with the doors. And then I felt absolutely terrible. So I can't tolerate the idea that I've upset somebody. That took a long time to get to, but there you go. I can't tolerate the idea that I've upset someone.
Yep.
So I will tolerate all sorts of things that I don't like or do not think are acceptable.
Unless you're in a restaurant. And then you are
yeah, what's going on there
very
then?
demanding.
So let me tell this story because it's the only story I can tell.
Well, let's do stories. Let's tell it. I don't know what story you're going to tell, but I think it's going to have to
I'm
do
going
with
to
the rule
tell
cake.
the story about the rocket that you call arugula.
Arugula. Yeah.
Arugula. So we went out for a meal in a very nice pub, but kind of like posh gastro pub. And your, whatever it was you ordered, burger, probably, knowing you, you're like a good old, give me some meat. And that came with a salad and it had rocket, arugula in it. And you were like, oh, I don't like arugula. And I was like, oh, it's okay. We can ask them to change it. And you were like, no. I was like, yeah. That's fine. And I was able to ask for that. I wasn't prepared to tolerate you having a salad that hadn't said it had rocket in it.
Yeah.
Having rocket in it. I wasn't, I that that was easy. I
Well,
didn't worry what they would think.
right. Like you, interesting, you couldn't tolerate me being disappointed in the salad.
You can put it that way, yes. Yes.
I
And
couldn't
also it
tolerate.
wasn't,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it wasn't my salad they were going to spit in if they decide. No, I'm joking.
That was part of like why I don't. No, I'm just kidding. But yes. And I couldn't tolerate putting somebody out as if me already having requested a different item than getting the wrong item like that it would put somebody else out, that they would have to correct a mistake, which is all it is, just a simple mistake. Somebody didn't think, didn't write down, whatever, no big deal. But I will, like, you know, like I said, you can put me in a trunk for 2 weeks, no food and water. And as soon as you open it up, I'll be like, oh my God, hi. Because I just, that for me, like, I will tolerate a lot. I have a very high threshold for, what is it, like, what would you call it?
Things you don't like?
Things that, like, it, yeah, yes. I have a I have a very high tolerance for dealing with shit I don't like. In fact, it's so high that I lost my ability to know what I actually want.
Yeah, I mean, you have shared with me you're really good at putting up with things. I wonder, I think I'm pretty good at putting up with things, apart from you having something you don't want in your salad bowl, in which case I will go ballistic. No, I will request nicely for it to be changed. But I wonder if there's a an aspect here of us being women and being, that certainly feels like a something in my mind that, you know, shut up and put up with stuff and don't make a fuss. Feels very British, feels very something like that women do.
We are we are more agreeable. Females tend to be, in Western culture, tend to be more agreeable than males, whether that's DNA, personality traits, culture, civilization, society, I don't know.
All of
social
them.
Media, parents. So overall, data shows that we happen to be more agreeable, which is great. We like agreeable, but there's a dark side to that. And the dark side is that we don't get what we want.
Yes.
And there's the darker of that, like if you go all the way down that rabbit hole, like I tend to do, I don't even know what I want. I just want whatever you want. What are you going to have for dessert? I'll have that. Where do you want to go out for dinner? We'll go there. What do you want to watch tonight? Okay, me too. Like, I'm the most agreeable that I've become vanilla. Like, I have nothing that makes, I make myself so not special.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, from a friend's perspective, I'm aware of that.
I'm the best friend you've ever had.
No,
I'm
no,
just
actually,
kidding.
It's really difficult in some ways because
yes,
we've planned a couple of things together, and I have got in the back of my mind, is Ali doing this because she wants to, or is she just agreeing?
Right.
Now, that I'm not putting that on you, I'm simply putting it on the table.
No, it's
and
good.
Saying I would like some kind of barometer, thermometer thing that I can put near you, like a litmus test.
What do you really want?
And then if it turned blue, I would go, oh, okay, she doesn't really want this. I want some way of knowing.
Yes.
Do you really want to do the things that we are planning to do? And so I'm not able to tolerate the idea that you, I mean, it's like dominoes, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm worrying about, like, ah, it's in my mind. Is she really okay? And I don't want to, I find it difficult to be with and therefore cannot tolerate the idea that you might be doing something you don't want to do. So for me, there's a big dollop of caretaking happening in my, happened in my dream. Oh, is that person, have I upset them by telling them what I really think? Now, I was angry in the dream, but that's not my normal, you know, rah, behavior. Normally I would couch things in very nice terms, possibly to the point where the actual message is lost.
Yes, me too.
I've wrapped it in so many pretty words and so much niceness and little caveats, and here we go, that the person's like, I don't even know what she said.
Yeah.
So my lack of tolerating comes with a big dollop of caretaking the other person, and I'll put up with.
And can I be even stronger in the language?
You may.
Fragilizing the other person.
Yes.
I think it's, I did a workshop yesterday with a group, and there was a repeated theme of what got, we were doing some work around like, how do you create the thing that you want, right? Want more of in your life. Like, what do you want more of? What will that do for you? What gets in the way? And what always got in the way was this, I mean, if we were really general about it, it was fear of disappointing people. And it isn't disappointing them. I think it's actually a little bit deeper. It's fear that people will be disappointed in us. And then I think there's another one underneath that, which is a fear that, like, I somehow suck, like that I am not worthy, I'm not relevant, I'm not important, I'm not lovable, whatever those, things are. So I think it's easy for us to be like, well, I don't want to disappoint anybody. Okay, we'll go one more. Okay, I don't want people to be disappointed in me. Go one more. I don't want to be disappointed in me. Go one more. Actually, I have this deep-seated fear that people won't like or love me. Oh.
Yes. Yeah. It sort of traces back, doesn't it? Disappointing other people. And
It's like
then
code.
really,
What do
yeah,
they really mean?
really, really worrying, like, what will they think of me? And then coming down to what I think of me, which is I'm a loser, I'm rubbish, I'm whatever.
I have another example with a business, a partnership. So these two partners have known each other a long time. And one partner is very agreeable and very tolerant. The other partner tends to be very aggressive and very over indexes a lot. So asks too many questions, has too much emotion, talks too much, goes into too many detail, like it's just always too. And yesterday I was thinking, like, what has this person, the agreeable person, tolerating? Because they were so crystal clear on the impact that this partner was having on the entire team. And it wasn't great. Not only was it a not great experience for the partner, not a great experience for the team. And so, like, everybody's losing. And yet, there's something massive in the way for us to actually look at that person and be like, you know what? This behavior isn't okay. There's something, there's, we hit that wall and we're like, no, I guess we'll just put our head down and just roll our
Did you
eyes.
get to did you get to answering that question? Like, what is in the way? No.
We got to some part of it. We dug a little bit, but I think there's more. We didn't get down deep enough, in my opinion. I think there's more there. And this is, decades of
Pattern.
operation.
Of pattern. Yeah, the sort of thinking I was doing before we came on the call was about patterns. You'd sort of floated the idea of bad behaviors, tolerating bad behaviors, and I was kind of like, oh, that in itself is a whole thing. What do I deem as being bad behavior? What I perceive as being bad, you might think is completely normal. There's loads of cultural stuff in there. And then how am I part of the pattern that perpetuates or even creates the thing in the first place? Creates it and then perpetuates it because I will be part of the pattern. If I'm in the room, physics says I'm having an impact. If I'm
Energetically,
in the
you are
relation.
having an impact in this space. In Al-Anon, that is one of the things that we get really, really clear on about our addicted loved ones, is that it's not that we need. Let me rephrase it. It's getting really clear on tolerating bad behavior. And they use that wording, tolerating bad behavior, because it isn't that we're tolerating, we're not being doormats. We aren't like letting people walk all over us. We're not enabling them to, it puts us back in the driver's seat and saying, okay, so you're tolerating some things. So if your addicted loved one, let's say, doesn't pay the bills and your lights get turned off, for example. Like, what we do is we end up like circumventing that and then we pay all the bills. But what actually needs to happen is the tolerating of the bad behavior, which is drinking, forgetting, not paying the bill, has to like run its course. And if we interrupt that course, which most of us will, And then we'll justify and make excuses for it. And we won't be wrong. None of it will be wrong.
No.
It's one more thing, one more day that this behavior can continue. So if I have, like in the oil industry, I had some people that thought it was okay to speak to me in a certain way. They would make dirty, filthy, dirty jokes. And because I wanted to fit in and I didn't want to be like, because there weren't very many people like me. And so I really wanted to fit in. I would tolerate some really filthy, filthy jokes or derogatory jokes made about people like me. I just tolerated it instead of being like, guys, not okay. Like,
yeah,
cool if you want to do that without me in the room, but like, I didn't even leave.
I'm here.
Like, I could have taken myself out of the space, but instead I was like, I stayed and I tolerated it. Like, they can behave any way they want, but I, by me staying in, I was sending the signal that it was okay to do that.
Yeah, and it kind of leads to the point that we tolerate things for a reason. We don't do it for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We tolerate things for a reason. Yeah. We want to avoid an argument. We want to
No, I wanted
in.
Those guys to like me.
Yes, in this case, you wanted them to like you. But in there's going to be a range of reasons why we put up with things.
And when we come from wanting like this desperate need for being liked, it's needy, which makes people not like us, right? Like the irony is like, if I'm whatever that deep-seated thing is, I'm not worthy, I don't want people to think I'm not important or I'm not needed or whatever, we end up actually creating that by tolerating bad behavior. It's so like, makes my brain turn inside out.
My brain's turning a little bit inside out at the moment. The example of bill paying and, you know, money,
mm-hmm.
you know, is definitely ringing a bell for me in a situation uh-huh. where I'm sort of doing some rescuing rather than actually speaking to the problem, which is all very coded and nobody will understand what I'm talking about, but I know what I mean. And I sort of am making steps today towards actually addressing the thing that's in the space or in the way in this situation. And the thing I would need to tolerate would be interest being charged on an account.
Yep.
That
gross.
I'm not responsible for.
Yep.
And then I will need to say I'm not paying that,
which is
and
not
then
going to be fun.
My story and my in my mind, you know, I'm then a horrible person.
Yeah, you're standing outside the window looking in, like in
well,
your
I'm
dream.
Saying this, yeah, you made this thing, so you need to this mess or this you created this, so you'll need to deal with it. And
yes.
My default will always be, oh, let me be nice. How can I be the nice person and help you? And yeah, and then I'm just helping the thing mm-hmm. to keep going. And I'm creating angst and turmoil for myself, which
yes.
has had me sitting here this morning, sort of, you know, emotionally wringing my hands and feeling really
yeah.
stressed. And I will tolerate that.
Yeah.
Over actually having to say the thing I really want to say and then having to potentially deal with whatever that person it's, you know what it comes down to for me, Ali? I still labor under the illusion that other people's emotions are my responsibility.
Yep. Yes.
And so I will tolerate a ton of stuff that personally for me feels unacceptable. Because I think I'm responsible for how other people feel.
You're causing it. You're making people upset. You're making people cry.
Yeah.
You can't. It's not possible.
That goes against all of my learning. And, you know, the 500 years I've been on this planet, that goes against everything that I've, you know, obviously not 500 years, but, you know, the long time that I've been here, that goes against all of the training, you know, be nice. Oh, don't say that. It's not very kind, you know, so constantly spoken and a lot of it unspoken is that I'm having an impact that I need to not have on other people. So I need to curb and change myself, tolerate things in order to have the right impact on people.
So that's part of us getting along with each other. Humans need humans to survive. At least we used to. So, I mean, a lot of this is just hardwired. And none of it is stuff that we like, there's anything that we need to do about any of it. But where we tend, where I see most of us get into trouble is when we start to imagine that we're responsible for other people's emotions. And I had a call with a client recently, and they were talking about this sense of like guilt for what for causing this other person to respond emotionally. And my client was like, I'm trying to not do that. And I was like, it's interesting that you think you're causing it, because it doesn't honor who you are. Like, it's kind of arrogant to think that you're such a big, you know, it's a little bit egotistical, like pounding of your chest where you're like, I don't want to upset anybody. Like, okay, well, take it easy. You know, these people are all adults, they can handle themselves. And it also doesn't honor the other person's ability to manage themselves. And so I said, and this is a thing that I had in a group program that you and I were both a part of, that I was constantly coming back at the leaders of that program saying, look, causing and contributing are two different words. And in the world of Al-Anon and addiction, we use the word contribute. Because when people show up in the doors of Al-Anon, they're like, what I'm cause how am I causing my loved one to stay addicted? And it's like, okay, whoa. You know, it's the three C's. I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, and I can't remember the third C. But anyways, like, cause is not the word. Contribute, yes. But like, just like you said, when I walk into a room and there's other people, energetically we'll impact each other. We can't help it. We're energetic beings. But you're not so fucking big and huge and massive that you like crush the other person and like make them and cause shit. You certainly contribute. No doubt about it. But cause is such a big, like, it just doesn't honor that the other person has any like agency.
Well, I think this is where there's a bit of nuance. Obviously, as you know, a parent's role is to socialize a child into the environment they live in. And so, you know, if you look at, you know, apes and gorillas and all the rest of it, and you follow, you know, you watch their patterns of behavior, there's a lot of socializing happening there. So there are some basic things that happen across, you know, species about socializing. But then there's the nuance of where am I contributing and where am I not contributing? You know, where it feels like it, to me anyway at the moment, it feel and always it feels like a gray, mushy line in the middle, where does it stop being mine and it's now yours? And I think that's why relationship is difficult at times, can be challenging. Because I don't know quite sometimes where my responsibility and my impact ends, and your responsibility and your impact begins. It's sort of a blurry bit.
It is. And that, just so you know, that is the work of Al-Anon, owning your side of the street. That is the language they use. I own my side of the street, the addict owns their side of the street. And there's like a definite gray area where it's like, ugh, but bills, like it's my credit rating too. And you know, the mortgage is my credit rating too, or the kids are mine. And so there, it's definitely like it's a dance, and there is no black and white. In causing, that is black and white. And we know better.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like that though sometimes. It very much feels like, ah, my default is to go to, I caused that. I've upset this person and I act in order to avoid the causal effect that hasn't even happened yet. Does that make sense?
Because you don't think that that person can handle it. Like, let's go back to the example, and I'm going to use it not because this is how I felt, but like you over-indexing on my dinner and you demanding, I'm using very dramatic language. This is not how you did it, but you demanding that the food service person take my plate and fix the mess that they made did not honor me at all.
No.
Fine. I was thrilled, by the way, I was thrilled to have you do that and me not do it, even though I didn't eat the salad because I was sure that somebody spit in it. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I am fully capable of doing that. And I would imagine, like, in a parent-child relationship, same with, like, leader-direct-report relationship, when the lead keeps fixing and over-indexing in these areas, then the child direct report doesn't have to. And there's no shortage of leaders running around this world going like, or parents being like, I have to do everything. Like,
well, yes. And it's exhausting. Like my experience this morning of being stressed and tired and like, you know, like, all of that energy used because I'm trying to control something that is not mine to control.
Yeah.
I'm working really hard to fix something that is not mine to fix.
Yeah. Yep.
So what have we, what's the conclusion? What's the answer? What's the cure? What's the fix?
Or what's practice maybe?
Is there more to say or are we?
No, I think we're pretty clear on like, we are a bunch of people pleasers. We kind of, that's just the way that we're wired because we're social and we want to get along. And so sometimes we'll tolerate things. Like I told you, I have a friend who chews her gum really loud. And it annoys me and I tolerate it because I'm just not prepared to say the thing because I imagine it's going to hurt her feelings. And I don't want to do that. So
can I just say something about that?
Uh-oh.
No, not about
it's
that.
It's not you.
About chewing. I spoke to somebody the other day because they were chewing not so much loudly, but really quickly. They were eating really, 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 really quickly. And it was difficult to be with for me. And I kind of said that. So I brought it up because I was finding it hard to tolerate. And I got the absolute response that I expected, which was a kind of fuck you sort of energy around I'll chew however I damn well like. And it went into this sort of, you know, well, I'm saying it for your own good because it isn't good for you to chew so quickly and you won't digest your food properly. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so then I started to defend my position.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, so it sort of spiraled. It was a very small incident, but it spiraled away into, I said, I'm finding that hard to tolerate and I made the person wrong for it. That isn't a good way to chew. They were kind of like, fuck you. And then I was like, well, I'm saying it from a health perspective. Not that I'm a medical professional. However, everything I know about chewing tells
you
me that you're doing it wrong. Yeah, you should slow down because your chewing's too fast. And then there was sort of an atmosphere. If you'd been able to put a special machine on it, which is going to be made by the same people who made the special machine that the litmus paper that I can hold up to you. If those people also made a machine that would show you the color, there would have been a color, sort of a cloud hanging in the room between me and this person, all of which goes to have me not say things to people because I'm like, if that happens over a chewing incident, what's going to happen when I mention the bill or the dropped whatever it is or the thing that didn't happen or the deadline that was missed or like if that happens over chewing, I'm not going anywhere near any of the other things. So I boiling this down, I find evidence to prove my story that I need to keep people pleasing and I need to keep tolerating shit I don't like and I need to keep my mouth shut. I think there's an end of a sentence and I can't remember what it is. I was going somewhere. There was a point.
That you need to keep people pleasing. Yeah. You need to keep your mouth shut because when you do say the thing.
Thank you. It was the because.
Everybody loses their effing mind.
Yeah, thank you. Because it goes badly when I don't behave in that set bunch of ways.
Yes.
Yes. So practices.
I think that's like a lovely. So practice.
Eat alone is the first one.
Absolutely. Earplugs. I'm thinking about like, I don't want us to run around the world like pointing out all the things that we can't tolerate because I also find that to be relatively ineffective. And then suddenly we become like people
Police.
that are offended and obnoxious, right? I don't like those people either. And I don't think that's helpful. So it may be something around, you know, when you're sitting there and you're watching the person eat really fast, you check in with yourself. Like, is this something that I need to address? Is there a way, you know, like, is this like with my friend that chews gum really loudly? Do I need, is this someplace that, like, is this the hill that I'm going to die on here? Because there is something around, like, we do have to coexist with each other, and like, we have to have a little bit of like room and space for people and their the ways that they do stuff. But I think for the bigger things, oh, there it is. That's the practice for me, is if like my resentment out of a scale of 10, when I start to get up around 3 or 4, then I start to think about like, I probably might need to say something. So this comes in with people that I spend a lot of time with. So like if I continue, I had to do this with our son when he first moved out and we were helping him financially. And then I got to a point where I was like, I'm not seeing any movement here and I'm starting to feel resentful. And I shared that with him. And then we had a conversation around like, that's my stuff. Like, I'm not putting that on you. And I'm wondering, would you be open to maybe creating some steps so that we can start to make sure that you are becoming financially independent? So that my resentment, it'll address my resentment and it'll also address what you wanted, which was to like adult. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's checking in basically with yourself and then seeing what you notice. Is that what
Measuring
you?
resent, well, I think it's a resentment meter. When you start to
Okay.
feel resentful, I think that's a pretty good sign that you're tolerating too much. It's a good red flag.
Okay. So resentful.
So if it's the fifth night of the week that your spouse has passed out on the couch drunk and you're feeling real resentful because you got to do the laundry and get the kids to bed and clean the house and do the dogs and all the stuff, it's a good sign that there's some tolerating.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. There's something there as well for me about responsibility. I haven't quite got it figured out, but I can see myself sitting on the sofa looking over at this person who was eating, and I'm sort of thinking, what was going on for me? I could have gotten up and left the room. Something was
Yes.
happening for me. I didn't take responsibility for what was happening for me. I put it over on the other person. Stop
Beautiful.
doing that thing.
Yeah.
And then all the reasons, you know, it's bad for your stomach and da, 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 da. I didn't really take responsibility, I don't think, for the experience I was having, which was something about that was grating on me. And I could have picked myself up and gone into another room. I could have put, you know, my earphones in and listen to something else. I could have just zoned it out. I could have done a lot of different things, but I didn't take responsibility for my own experience. I was like, you stop being like that so that my experience is fixed.
Yes. I love it. I fly a lot and I'm always like looking around at how passengers are behaving with each other because you know you're on this tiny little tube and you're all like sitting on top of each other and the seats are skinny and you're packed and how some people will be like they need everybody else to do stuff so that they can have a trip.
So they can be comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
interesting. But
So I
that's really
think the
good,
same
checking in
is,
with yourself.
yeah, I think the checking in to notice where your resentment levels are and also
Yeah.
what can you be, a bit like the side of the street thing, what can I be responsible for in this point? What action can I take where
Yes.
I'm empowered? What action can I take to make my experience different and better and closer to what I want? I must have wanted peace. Silence,
Yeah.
quiet.
Yes.
Something about the energy of the chewing was grating on me. So if I want peace, quiet, you know, calm, then go create that for yourself, Mia.
Yeah, it's
Go
not
into the
their
other
job
room.
to create
Yeah.
peace for you.
Go in the other room and lie on the other sofa and bask in peacefulness. but I just kind of handed it over. You fix this for me.
In Al-Anon, I think we've talked about this before, but the practice of halt. So
Oh,
it's a
yeah.
way, it's an acronym that you can measure your stress level, which is hungry, angry, lonely, or it's tired. If you're any of those things, you're not fit for human consumption. Go get yourself sorted, figure it out. I had one of my sponsors in Al-Anon, she passed away, and she gave me two powerful things. And one of the most powerful things she ever said is, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, go weed. She goes, I will spend hours in my garden just weeding because I can't. I'm all four of those things. Like, and then I'll go in the house and something will set me off and I'm back out in the garden. And so that was like her way of just like, I just weed, angry weeding. But
angry weeding, yeah.
It's like she's taking control of herself and just acknowledging, like, I am stressed and I am not going to be nice. So I'm going to make myself, I'm going to go do something. Take myself out of the interactions with others.
It's so funny, Ali. It's just occurred to me. I am giving away my power. If we use the example of the chewing, I gave away my power. You make me feel better. Stop chewing so fast. I don't like it.
Yes.
I gave away my power. And then when I was with you and the salad, I took away your power.
Yes.
Neither of those things are things that I want to do. I don't want to take your
Right.
power and I don't want to give mine away. Just occurred to me as being kind of ironic that I'm taking yours, giving mine away, taking this person's, giving mine away. And where's my power? Where's your power? It's all mixed up in a big mess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
takeaway.
That's good for me. Yeah, that is a great takeaway for me. That last little bit has landed well in my brain. You, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah,
you.
My big takeaway is let me see if I can land this here. When I want to address something that I want to stop tolerating, I got to check in with myself and be like, is this my side of the street or is this their side of the street? Right. So I love your chewing example. Cause it's like, you could have left. And that's, I mean, yeah. So I love that. Like, control what I can control. If the chewing is bothering me, I am welcome to leave the room.
Yeah. And just, we can put these, drop these in the bottom underneath the link for this, but I'm thinking of the books, the ones you and I read about being happy. What is it? Courage to be happy and courage,
oh,
the courage
yes.
to be disliked, and about task, my task, your task. And then I'm also thinking about a book that I'm reading at the moment, listening to at the moment, which is Gay Hendricks.
Yes, Big Leap.
The Genius, no, not The Big Leap, the other one, The Genius Zone.
Yes.
And in that, he says, get two folders. I don't know, I think he says a red one and a green one or something. And in the red one, write down the things you cannot control.
Yes.
Like, in all seriousness, I can't control the speed at which someone else was chewing.
No.
I was trying to. God love me. But I can't. So
A
that
for
would
effort.
Go in the can't control.
Nope.
And can control, where I just didn't even look, would have been, oh, what can I do right now? I can get up and move into another room. I can put earphones in or whatever, or earphones on, wherever they go. You know, I can zone it out. I can meditate and I can make the chewing the meditative thing that you know, takes me to nirvana.
Yes.
And that would have been what I could have done and what I couldn't do, what I can control and what I can't. So, yeah, interesting things to read up on.
Lovely. Thank you, madam.
Very
All
good.
Right. I think we're done. I think we did it.
I think we did it. I think it was a nice one, Al. I enjoyed
it. It's so sunny now. I can't. Hold on. Let me try to do this without
you can't turn the button.
Blinding myself. All right. Sayonara.
Ciao, ciao.